man, after a long, long break. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks, Dave.
It's been quite a bit, huh?
Yeah.
You went and had some good time on the East Coast in Georgia and such.
I had a time.
You had a time.
We went back east for a wedding. North Georgia, beautiful country. We visited the Bigfoot Museum for you. Got some pictures and a shirt.
You did. You got me a shirt, man. I appreciate that. I'm a Bigfoot freak.
I got to give Cynthia credit because she said, we have to go. Dave would love it. And I was like, yeah, we do have to. You're right, Cynthia. So
well,
we got
thank you, Cynthia. You are the best.
She's the thoughtful one, man. But yeah, so we did that. And then we scooted down to the Keys. And unfortunately, man, we got caught in that tropical storm going on down there.
Oh, you did?
It was not the clear, crystalline, perfect white sand snorkeling type Keys vacation we were expecting. But we got a boat, got out there, we swam around, but man, visibility, it was so stirred up. It was like 6-7 feet.
Was it humid? Was it even with all that weather going on, was it still nasty humid like Florida is?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
But that's not bad. Like if you hit the Keys January, February time frame, it's like a nice change of pace from what we get out here. That cold, you know, it's nice to feel a little warmth and everything.
Yeah.
Don't go during hurricane season.
No.
June is not the time to go. So,
well, they got that first tropical storm, I guess, hitting Texas right now. What's its name? Alejandro or Alberto or something they named it. First tropical storm of the season.
I don't know what one that is, but I know we start getting the, you know how your phone will go off like.
Oh, yeah. Like the kind of like Amber Alert type of deal.
Yeah.
Like those. Starts barking at you.
We started getting those at the place we were staying on Isle Mirada. And then we made it back to Fort Lauderdale and we saw water like 2 feet up house walls.
Oh, geez.
Like Fort Lauderdale was flooding like crazy. So again, it was not that like a blows. Tropical.
Oh, that sucked. Well, you were at a wedding in Georgia and I was at my nephew's wedding in Sisters, Oregon.
Yeah, another one down, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I had two to go. Two to go. But man, I will tell you one thing. Sisters, Oregon, well, Bend, Oregon itself, but Sisters, Oregon is insanely gorgeous. The mountain ranges there. And, oh, buddy, I could have just stayed.
Unfortunately, I think, isn't Bend one of the more expensive places in the country?
Well, it's probably not too much more expensive than Reno is house-wise. Okay. The kicker in Oregon, there's no sales tax,
so they tax
the living bejesus out of you if you own land or houses or anything like that. So a friend of ours has a place up there, and they're getting ready to retire. House is paid for, but they still have to drop $1,800 a month.
A month?
A month.
Whoa.
for the taxes on their house. Granted, it's a big home with some really nice land, and it's probably worth some serious coin, but $1,800 a month.
That's a mortgage.
Just for
good
taxes.
Grief. They'll get their pound of flesh one way or the other.
So, I mean, that's kind of a deterrent for your average Joe to retire in Sisters, Oregon. But the wedding was fantastic. It was a blast. Gina and I absolutely destroyed the dance floor.
Bet you did.
I could see that.
That makes sense.
I cleared it. I went like old school pop lock style. And I didn't even drink. So it was full freestyle.
Oh, I was going to say, I did some dancing at the wedding too, but I can't say I didn't have a drink.
Yeah.
Mine might have been a little bit of that liquid courage.
Well, I had a drink or two, but not, it didn't give me the courage. I just.
My man, Dave, I'm glad because after the wedding we went to, I complained to Cynthia.
Oh.
They don't drink. They don't dance. They don't.
They don't light things on fire.
What are we doing here?
I mean, you said this is Georgia. I thought they did some weird
stuff. No, man. It was Alice, Madeline, and me.
Just ripping it up.
Yeah. Going to town. Having fun.
That's what it's about. Yeah. So anyway, I had a good time. You had a good time. All right, yep. We're home safe, and we're here.
We're back. You've been running nonstop. We got some committee stuff to cover coming up on the show. First, I want to make sure I get in there. Hunting House Archery Shop here in Reno. Go see them. Man, it's been a little bit since I was over there, but I know they're still getting shipments of bows. Now is the time to start getting your setup dialed if you're one of the lucky ones that got an archery tag. Dave, where do you want to go? Do we want to dive into committee meeting stuff right off the bat, or do we want to talk... Can you talk about what you've currently been running around doing in Nevada's Outback?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can touch base on it real quick. So I've been covering a lot of the state lately with just field work, and we've been putting up these really cool bat detecting units. They're called NA Bat Systems. It's like a, it looks like a trail camera, but it's not a camera. It's a very sensitive device that picks up the frequencies bats emit when they're out feeding and foraging. It's a big national push. These are large grid systems, and there's four quadrants in a grid, and you've got to survey two of the quadrants. So there's
how big is one of those quadrants?
Oh man, I'm trying to think like hectares or acreages wise. I can't really think. They're about 6 miles by 6 miles. Square.
Oh man, okay.
So it's pretty good size, 6 to 8 miles square.
Right,
so it's
right.
big. So you got to get out there. You have to pre-survey it. You got to get in, you know, put up your mapping systems, locate areas that might be suitable habitat or priority habitat. Then you go out in the field and you truth test them and you go, okay, this is a good spot. It's a creek. It's a small pond. It's, you know, something that they're going to visit. Then you go out and you put these units up and they've got to stay up for, you know, about 4 to 6 days. And then you go back, you pick up all of the units, and then you take them to another quadrant and or another grid site.
Okay.
So it's just been crazy amount of driving and just hiking and, you know.
I knew something was up. I told you because I got back into town. I started texting you, and my texts were going through as the green, not the normal iPhone to iPhone blue
yeah,
text.
Yeah, right.
It said like sent as text message. And I was going, man, Dave's got to be out. And I wouldn't hear back for like hours on end. I was like, man, I wonder what in the world Dave is up to. Yeah. And then I found it. You said you found some good antelope out there too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There were some really nice antelope in the units that we got into up there.
So you're getting some scouting in essentially.
Well, the only problem is it's nowhere near my area.
You're getting out there and seeing animals.
Yes. I'm definitely seeing some animals. Saw some deer. Granted, their horns are still in velvet. They're still growing, but you can just tell like that's going to be a nice buck. He's got good girth on there.
Are they at least past the forks yet or no?
Some of them, the ones that you know are going to probably be in the 170 range.
Good deer,
160, 170 plus ranges. They're forking.
Okay. Okay.
The other ones, they're not.
Right.
But you can tell they're laid out real nice and their body condition is really sweet. And then we were in one area, 6171, saw a couple bulls in there that are going to be
good, but real good bulls.
Very, very nice bulls.
Oh, yeah. Cool, man.
And they're all in velvet. If you've never seen a bull in velvet.
Oh, yeah. They look massive.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And they just look so cool when they're just out there just cruising around in that, some of them like that light brown to chocolate velvet. You're just like, dude.
That's a
cool looking animal. So just, running around, seeing some great country. But you guys know, though, folks out there ran into several rattlesnakes. They're
two good wet years in a row.
Yeah.
And then getting dry and hot. Yeah.
Oh, buddy. So I wear my snake boots everywhere I go now.
You have been wearing snake boots.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Because we're getting into areas where those transitional wetland.
Where you're not going to see them.
Where you're going to see them. You're rocky, shelly side faces, and then drops down into a creek bed, so it's moist and tall grasses and stuff. And you'll get in there, and like yesterday, I took a few steps and stepped on this rock. My colleague did, and instantly it's just like.
Well, I mean, not see them like in those. That's what I'm talking about. Those transition areas. With that tall grass, that always freaks me out because walk through there and you'll hear and you're like, it sounds like it's a couple feet over there, but I don't see anything right now.
And that's kind of what it was. We transitioned from the rocks into
that grassy
stuff getting near the creek, and one lit up and he just froze. And I'm like, yep, he's right underneath you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you know, where we were, we're easy 50 to 60 miles from
pavement.
So I told him, I said, well, something happens, I'll just put some flagging on you. I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck, little buddy.
Yeah. Just be aware, because it just seems like there's more this year than in previous years when I've been out there.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
So. Hey, let's go to break real quick. When we come back, I want to get into some of the committee stuff and their
wildlife commission.
We'll get into that. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, if you're just joining us, the show is Nevada Backcountry. I am coming back after a couple weeks back on the East Coast, and here's where I'm going with that. Over the break, we were just talking about liquid IV. So I have never taken 2 weeks, a full 2 weeks off of work, and this was the first time. So going back east, man, it's like 90% humidity.
Yeah.
You could drink like 40, 50 ounces of water a day and feel great because you're basically absorbing it. Man, getting back out here the last 3-4 days, I have not been able to, I'm just shotgunning bottle after bottle after bottle of water. I don't know what are we at, like 17-20% humidity here?
Yeah, if that, yeah.
Okay.
Usually sit in the 10 range or something.
Yeah, super my skin dry. Just, so you were talking about liquid IV.
Yeah.
A product we both absolutely, and this is a free plug, we both swear by this stuff.
Without a doubt. I mean, the last week, grabbed my backpack, headed up into the hills for one of my sites, and got back. I'd been drinking water the whole time. I mean, because it was 90-something degrees out and just sweating like crazy and drinking. And I still was feeling like, man, this is just,
I'm not keeping up.
I'm like wore out. And I didn't have little liquid IV packets, my electrolyte packets, and got back to the truck and put one of those in one of the waters and drank it and drove to the next site. And it changes everything.
I mean, oh,
I was like energized. I felt good. I didn't have that like almost kind of a headache from the kind of a heat thing. And
that liquid IV, you've got it.
You're in the fields. You've got to figure out what works best for you. I mean,
especially when you're talking 90s and you're sweating everything out. Yeah.
It does not take long for heat exhaustion and or heat stroke, which is the bad one, to kick in when it's 90, super dry out, and you're hiking around.
Yep.
So,
hey, free plug. I've been on it since I got back because I can't, like I said, I cannot keep up. I'm like, holy smokes, I've forgotten. Basically half a month away.
Yeah.
And now I'm back and I'm like, oh yeah, it's dry as hell here.
Yeah, it just wrecks you. It wrecks you.
So
your skin looks great anyway.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Skin looks great.
It's about time for a haircut.
Yeah.
Nonsense is getting hot.
Yeah.
All right, refocus.
Yeah, let's get in here.
Wildlife Commission in Lovelock.
It'll be next weekend.
Good. So we're getting out in front of
this. Friday, June 28th and Saturday, June 29th.
Okay.
In Lovelock, starting at 8:30 in the morning. It's at 820 6th Street, Lovelock. Probably wouldn't be hard to find. Just look for all the end-out trucks, I'm sure.
Exactly.
But I do recommend people get online, read the agenda, see what's on there. We're going to go through the agenda right now. But, you know, if you want to have your say, you know, you don't have to go there. You're more than welcome to go to Lovelock and sit through it and wait for the for that agenda topic to come up to voice your opinion, or you know, basically the public comment period. There's a public comment period at the beginning of each day and at the end of each day, and it's limited to 3 minutes. So don't get yourself
practice in the mirror at home.
Yeah, and don't get yourself a 5-page thing that you wrote because they're going to cut you off at 3 minutes. So, and there's a lot of really, really important stuff coming up to the commission, not just here in June, but this entire next year. There's a lot of really good stuff that both Henry and I think the residents of the state of Nevada and the outdoors people in Nevada need to hear about and get involved.
Get involved.
With.
Yes. Yeah. Get involved.
Get involved.
Where do you want to go for? Was it item 12, I think, or you want to go through the agenda
first? Yeah. So we can go. So this will be Friday's agenda.
Okay.
First off, they're going to be going through their standard stuff, but some of the cool items that I think would be beneficial would be they're going to be doing a reading and a report on the Columbia sharp-tailed grouse in Nevada. There are some releases and future plans about what's going on with the grouse, so that would be a cool report to hear. And again, you can hear all this online, too. You can fire up online and watch it. like on Zoom or your computer or whatever program. Like they have it through like a YouTube deal. And you can even comment through that and even talk through that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that started, I don't know, well, somewhere around COVID.
Good grief. I might fire that up in my office then because I know I'm going to be at work.
Yeah, just fire it up and let it run and you can hear the commission. I do it if I can't get to the commission, which I'll be at this one so anyone there can see my pretty face.
Yeah, buddy.
So, yeah, buddy. you know, you can get online and just have it playing. So, but the next one is a pretty important one. Both Henry and I think it's critical, is the chronic wasting disease. So they're going to be talking about, it was just detected in California and not far away.
Do you want to say where or no?
Well, it says it right here, so it's public. Okay. It's public information. It was detected in Bishop, California.
Yeah.
It's right on our border, basically. So,
yeah, we talked through the, and I don't want to get too sidetracked, Dave, but real quick, let's go through the conversation you and I had. And I was just sitting here, I think I would say, oh, F word every couple minutes. But the reality is if CWD is in Bishop, that herd moves all through that Eastern Sierra. Anybody that's been around that Annette's Mono Village there.
Yeah.
Twin Lakes area.
Twin Lakes.
That herd congregates in there. Then from there, they move
Bridgeport.
Up. Yep. So Bridgeport to Markleyville. Markleyville to the Sweetwaters. Sweetwaters to the Pine Nuts.
Yeah, you got the Walker River Basin there.
On up.
From there, they go in any direction. They go from Walker River. They run out towards Tonopah and get into that whole area. And then the Pine Nuts and then move into the Virginias. And next thing you know, they're in the monitors, and it'll
go like wildfire.
Yeah. Man. So this particular topic, it's with the state Department of Wildlife veterinarian Dr. Nate LaLue, really trying to develop what is the plan to keep it out of Nevada?
Yeah.
What's the best practices? What's the best management practices to do this? So this is going to be a pretty good topic. It'd be definitely worth at least listening to.
What's being proposed now is an effective, I mean, I know no brain tissue, no spinal column or whatever.
But yeah, like right now, you know, if you hunt out of state or take an animal from Nevada to another state, you know, it has to be deboned. You can't bring the head if the brain matter and everything's still in it, which getting all of that material out is pretty difficult unless it's done by a taxidermist or if you know how to do that proper washing.
I've done a few Europeans myself with like the turkey fryer thing.
Oh,
it's a lot of work, man.
It's a ton of work. And then there's certain solutions to put in there to make sure you neutralize any tissues. And this probably is going to strengthen those regulations and probably make them a lot more rigid, probably check stations possibly on the borders or even within the state, because some of the other states that have CWD, they have, you harvest an animal, you have to take that animal to a check station.
Right.
And then
right.
at the check station, they pull samples and do what they must. But
well, with that one, I mean, right there, you could set up on 88 going up through Hope Valley and wouldn't be the end of the world.
Wouldn't be the end of the world. So they're discussing the predator fee, the policy 12.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
okay.
That'll probably be getting approved, and that's the predator fee and where that money goes.
Okay.
So policy 12 is increasing the reach of the money, basically. So it's going to go to like habitat work and research efforts, as well as dealing with and helping put money towards non-predatory species. Could be, you know, deer. It could be antelope. It could be pika.
Whatever.
It could be bats. It could,
yeah.
You know, it's allowing the state to use the money on a greater suite of animals,
okay,
as well as habitats, primarily the habitats. And once you improve any habitat, it's not just, even if you're focusing it on, say, well, you know, we're going to improve this for deer or elk or something, you're improving it for just about all of the animals in the state of Nevada that are
utilizing
our resources.
Well, and I know we've talked before about the issues. I mean, the ecosystem benefits from one species being benefited or what, like we've talked about the field mice.
It's like an
mice.
Umbrella thing. It's,
yeah, the field mice out there. And when horses trample that, you know, the soil's not getting aerated, then you're losing some of the grass, native grass species,
et cetera.
Yeah,
when
it's
rains, the rain doesn't go into the small mammal holes.
Right.
You know, you're not like, yeah, exactly.
So
they all play a part.
Right.
It's all this domino effect. You pull one of those things out of the mix, there's a gap. And that gap gets difficult to reach to the next thing.
That was very well put. Yeah, that's where I was trying to go with that. Like, hey, my peer group, my friends that are all hunters, they couldn't give a rip about like a field mouse.
Yeah.
But they are going to care if what used to be antelope grazing area or mule deer grazing area no longer exists because we didn't do the research, put the money into making sure that that was a suitable habitat for those mice. Anyway.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that. Yes.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Yes.
Bing, bang, boom.
All right.
So, and then down the agenda, there's going to be possibly increasing some of the elk damage exceeding the maximum of $10,000. There's been a few elk damage situations that have exceeded the $10,000 max.
I'm going to have you explain, but I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll get into the elk damage. I don't fully understand that.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight. If you got a rifle tag this year in a steep, gnarly, rocky area, make sure you go pick up a Howa Superlight. Now I think I've seen the 243s out there. Great youth cartridge. Go check out Legacy Sports International. We are back. You are listening to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk and Nevada Backcountry, brought to you by Truck Envy there on South Virginia in Reno. We were just starting to get into the elk damage. They're upping the, what did you say, 10,000?
Yeah, so there's a, in the NAC 504.421, I think, 421.
Man, good Rolodex today.
Hey, dude, it's on fire. I took my medicine for a single loss. You know, say a rancher has a single loss fence line, you know, what it might be, a limit of $10,000.
Okay.
Well, with inflation, everything becoming so much more expensive, some of these damages are exceeding that $10,000. But the
only way to
increase that $10,000 limit, it's kind of like a case-by-case basis. It has to go to the commission for an approval.
How has it traditionally been dealt with? I don't know anything about this. I know like there's depredation tags and there's landowner tags. Let's say elk come through, barrel through, knock down $10,000 worth of fence. Does the state reimburse the rancher if they file a claim, or how's that work?
So they file it like an insurance claim, basically.
Okay.
And there's a pot of funds and some, don't quote me on this totally, but I think it's a funds, national funds, wildlife funds.
Okay.
That help with reimbursing those damages caused by wildlife.
Why can't you just be like, well, a pound of elk meat is this at market value, so there you go. You get your nine elk.
There's your nine elk. Just fence them right in there.
Perfect. They're yours now.
Yeah. No.
No, not the way it works.
Not the way it works. So that's one of them. Another good one. They're getting into the heritage funding program, and they'll be giving a presentation on the fiscal year 2025, which starts July 1st,
right,
on that heritage program and some of the possible past funding and where it went and how it went and what was done with it. So,
do you want to talk about some of the gripes we're hearing with that stuff right now, or like the increase in stamp fees and all that? Or do we want to save that for a future episode?
We could probably save that for future right now. Yeah, so we can get through some of this. The next one will be the agenda item is going to be the fiscal year 2025, again, starting July 1st, is the heritage project proposals that are going to be implemented. This is the work that the department is doing. Folks out there that think a lot of the biologists and staff just drive around and get a really nice tan on their left arm.
Yeah.
The funds, the heritage funds this next year, it's somewhere $1.84 million is going to be expended. So some of these projects, a lot of folks, especially me, I'm and Henry, probably going to be like, this is some cool work, is Bighorn Sheep and Mountain Goat Restoration Management Project, 110 grand. Wildlife related restoration and seed purchases for burns and some of the fires and some areas where just, you know, doing some understory burning to get rid of that cheatgrass, go in there, mix it up, you know, the soil, and then seed. Try to get our
our
native sagebrush and bitterbrush and, you know, native flowers and shrubs and sedges and stuff back. A bunch of that going on, 150 grand. Nevada spring protection. So fencing off a lot of springs from the feral horses and from situations like that. So the wildlife actually have, you know,
an opportunity to get water.
So there's some spring fencing going on. Department of Wildlife, the Water Development Management Program is getting some more for some new guzzlers that are coming in. Cave Lake Habitat Improvement and Erosion Control.
What's going on out there?
They're just doing some bank enhancement and just kind of enhancing the surrounding areas.
Okay.
Yeah, some habitat. They're going to be doing some.
That's for those that haven't been out there. Cave Lake is a cool spot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a really, really cool spot. So some PJ removal going on near the current summit. There's also the Warm Water Fishery Enhancement Program that's going on, the Lake Tahoe Fish Management. It's a structure. It's phase two of that is going to be happening. The Shoshone Bench Habitat Restoration, that was a fire.
Yeah.
So then the Corda Fire Habitat Improvement Phase 3 is going to be occurring.
Back up on the PJ removal. So for those that don't know, and Dave, I want you to correct me on this, but pinyon juniper stuff, they will suck a spring dry in no time. And I forget, what do you know off the top of your head how much? I remember hearing at one point the fact on that, like how much water they use or can suck up per day. And it's astronomical.
Yeah, it's a ton of water if they get into the aquifer and stuff. Yeah, a lot of this is for some like historical sage grouse habitat that now has been overrun by pinyon juniper. The kicker with this is the pinyon jay is becoming pretty high on the list of potential endangered animals.
It's an animal of, what do they call that?
Conservation priority.
Highest concern or whatever.
Yeah, it depends on what organization you're talking to.
I did not know that.
But they're moving up there pretty hard and pretty fast, and they get listed. That can change a lot of stuff in pinyon juniper habitats.
So. Ooh, bummer. Okay, but, sorry. You know, anyway, fast forward.
That's years down the road. Sheep Creek Mountain Habitat Improvement Project, Mule Deer Enhancement Project. That's going to be dealing with habitat access, you know, stuff like that. Just getting them into winter grounds, corridors. Toe Jam Mountain Habitat Improvement Project, the State Elk Trace Mineral Profile and Population Demographics Project is going on. Granite Range Bitterbrush Planting Project.
Ooh, that would be cool, man, because the granites used to pump out some really, really good bucks. Yeah. And that herd out there is just, for all intents and purposes, gone. Or not gone, but not like it used to be in the mid. I know Jerry Lowry's buck from 95 came out of the granites there.
Oh,
and but granites used to pump out bucks like that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's going to be a oxygen improvement project going on at the Gallagher Hatchery, the supplemental oxygen, you know, water oxygenation. So, and that is just the heritage project. So
is that the total? That's the 1.8 million is allocated amongst those projects?
Yes.
Okay.
That's just the heritage project. Then you get into the duck stamp requests. These are projects that are being proposed through the duck stamp funds. Argenta Wildlife Management Area Improvement Project, the Ducks Unlimited Wetlands Conservation Support Project, the Carson Lakes Wildlife Management Area Noxious Weed Treatment.
Yeah.
And Department of Wildlife took over the Carson Lakes. It's a new management area, and I've been out there numerous times with all of the water issues going on out there.
Oh, and there's a lot of them.
There's a ton. So that's all, you know, being addressed very aggressively. So
when you say that's the duck stamp fund or that money comes out of that.
The duck stamps,
what percentage of those, what's it like, 20 bucks or something for your duck stamp?
I think it's 20.
So what percentage of that stays in Nevada? Do you know?
That I don't.
Okay.
That I don't. I know these projects come out to a little over $90,000.
I guess I never realized that some of that money for that federal duck stamp stays within the state of Nevada.
Yeah, and it probably has to do with a percentage of stamps that are purchased in the state for, like, you know, the state.
What allocation you get. Yeah, that would make sense.
Waterfowl hunters, I'm sure, like, in the Midwest, it's probably a little different because there's a little more duck hunting there. But
yeah.
So these are some more projects that will be proposed and probably come along. And then you go into the upland game bird stamp. So these are all agenda items that will be discussed at the commission in Lovelock. So if any of these projects concern you or you support them, because that'd be really cool, people like actually telling us that we're doing a good job and supporting us. 90% of the time you hear everyone gripes and bitches.
Did you drink before you came in here? What do you think people are going to say nice things?
People are going to say nice things? What are you? Are you nuts? So, but anyway, these are going to be some of the upland game bird stamp projects requests. So you got the Gilbert Creek Habitat Restoration Project. This is going to be phase two.
Where is that at, Dave?
I knew you were going to ask me.
Oh,
and
damn
I
it.
Just went blank.
My bad.
Gilbert Springs. Gilbert
Creek.
Like Shell Creek Range? Like Ely?
If somebody listening out there, hey, the text line is 775-884-9910. If you guys know where this Gilbert Creek Upland Restoration Project is going on, shoot us a text and let us know.
So a lot of these projects, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 of them. You know, they come out to about $262,000 of work. You got sage-grouse work in here. You got translocation and monitoring of upland game birds going on in here. You have transplants or movements, more bitterbrush work, some raven control work and monitoring.
As we're coming kind of to an end of this segment, Dave, I want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Where do you come down on the sage-grouse deal?
In what context?
Do you like them?
Yeah.
You do?
I think they're great birds on the landscape. I love watching them. They're cool. They're a pain in my butt to hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is. It's probably like my fishing this year. I've been out 5 times, twice on the river. I've yet to catch fish. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
dude.
No. Father's Day, my son and I went out to the Truckee. I did all my research, talked to the boys at Reno Fly Shop. I got my Pale Morning Duns. Yeah. I got my Yellow Sallies. I got all the stuff that everyone's like hitting them on. 5 hours out there, dude. I think I had a hit, but I wouldn't doubt if it was probably a weed.
Yeah.
You know, it was gorgeous.
Well, if you're not setting the hook, you're not going to find out, right?
Right, you know, but it was wonderful being on the river. It's
well, let's
gorgeous.
Rectify. We got to rectify that, but...
but anyway, let's...
I ask about the sage grouse because I know more than a few people that I have hunted with or do hunt with regularly are like, they taste like crap. They're getting their butts... I don't care. If the sage grouse goes away, I don't care. They don't like them. And I got a soft spot for them, man. And I know they're not the best eating bird out there.
Right.
But when you watch, everything about sage grouse, I love. I'm just going to put it out there. I got a soft spot for the things.
I do. And when you asked me the question, I wasn't really putting it as in a hunting context.
Oh, okay.
I was just putting it in a wildlife context. I mean, they're a beautiful bird. They really help the environment. They're a seed transporter. They're like we were talking earlier. They're one of the dominoes in the ecosystem.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
You know, so it's important that we do have them. It's important that we try to do the best we can as stewards of our land.
They're not. It's not like they're taking territory that would be taken up by something better.
You know, it's not a. It's not a solar panel.
Oh, let's go.
Boom.
All right, Dave just rolled that grenade in the room. That means we got to go to break. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Coming up, we'll get more into the commission meeting, and we might even touch on solar panels if we can. Maybe. Final segment of the show on Nevada Backcountry, brought to you by Hunting House Archery Shop, Legacy Sports International, and Truck Envy. We're going to dive right back into some commission meeting notes. This is kind of a catching up where we've both been over the last couple weeks and kind of a drier episode. But this stuff, I want to make the point to people listening. It's important to get involved in this stuff. Don't sit on the sidelines and then start yapping and yammering a couple years down the road that, hey, you didn't get the tags you wanted, or there's now a solar project covering 5,000 acres in what used to be a mule deer migration corridor.
So we kind of left off at all the projects that are going on with the department.
The heritage,
the duck stamp. That'll be the beginning of Saturday because the Friday will end with the heritage projects.
Okay.
So we're kind of into the two other topics that'll be really, really good. And biannual big game release plan, going over this next year plan for what animals are going to be releasing or what kind of cooperative projects we're doing.
Got to be sheep stuff, right?
Could be sheep. It could be antelope. It could be turkey. You know,
that kind of thing.
Sometimes the state may say, we need antelope and you guys want sheep, so let's do a switch. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, like where are they putting these animals? Where are they getting them from? What are they?
Saturday's the day.
Yeah, it's a good one to tune into. That'll be with our staff specialist, Mike Cox and Cody Schroeder. Then we have the small game release plan as well. That'll be right before the big game release plan. So that'll be talking probably about the sharp-tailed grouse and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, and then they've been releasing or small game, you know, some of the upland game bird chucker and quail and stuff.
Areas. Just moving, shuttling stuff around.
Because of the burns in the past and some of these areas that have been, over the years, have had habitat restoration work done, seeding projects, planting projects and stuff. They're getting to that point now where they're good, healthy, strong.
You start moving stuff back in.
Yeah, start moving things back into those areas. Having it like naturally repopulate itself with wildlife, especially upland game birds and things like that.
Yeah.
Might take a lot longer, so it's not bad to do it scientifically. No bucket biologists.
right.
Do it properly.
I was going to say, knock on wood, while I was out of town, I was watching that fire burning right into Ruidoso down there in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
So knock on wood, we haven't had anything like that yet, and it would be great to see some of these areas. I don't want to say the area, but there's one of my old chucker haunts. It was an extremely productive area.
Yeah.
Burned a couple years back, and it is not, it's a shell of itself now. So
this last week, going up where I've been doing some work, a lot of chucker.
Good.
I mean, they were on the road. They were hiking up. They're in the rock. I don't know if they've had like a second, third, fourth half. I don't know, but it's some of the little ones running around.
They're cotton like, ball on tank treads?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They look like a chicken egg with legs just running around, a furry chicken leg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these things.
June is late to see them like
super
that.
Super late. And there was one clutch that, you know, you had a small group of the adults and the little ones are all running behind them. And I counted like 32 of these little guys. I'm like, holy moly.
Yeah.
This is cool.
I just told somebody because everybody's doing the, they're celebrating, hey, I got tags, or in my case, kind of going, oh, woe is me. And then I kind of stopped and went, no, this is back to, I had a dry stretch a long time ago, and that's when I always tell people I became a chucker hunter out of necessity, not by design,
because
I couldn't draw anything. So it was like, maybe I'm going back on that, and it sounds like it's a good year to get back out there.
It definitely, I think, would be a really good year to get back on there. So,
what else coming up?
And then they get into the duck stamp in the upland game on Saturday, and that's pretty much the bulk of Saturday. They'll be going over a few regulations in relation to, like, amendments, changes for fishing seasons and regulations in certain bodies of water. They'll be hitting some other amendments, readings on tag vendors, because that was a bit of an issue two years ago, maybe some vendors, because Calcami transitioning from.
What do you mean, like a vendor, like Sportsman's Warehouse having issues?
No, like vendor in the sense of, right now, several states, including Nevada, do our tags through Calcami. Like when you put in for your tags, you get on Nevada Hunts.
It's not
the Department of Wildlife website. It's you get on there and it's, Calcami is the company that is the managers of that program.
So they would be the vendor.
Vendor for the Department of Wildlife in the state of Nevada to run the draw.
Okay. Can I sound like kind of a simpleton?
Sure.
I've been happy the last couple of years. I mean, not like when it first started, everything was effed. Like the login, all that. It was just jacked up, right?
Well, yeah, because everything's going to have bugs. But
yeah.
that they were fantastic at fixing that, getting on top of it as soon as possible, making the changes and the good changes, and it runs fantastic now.
I'd agree.
They sold.
Oh.
They are getting out of the game tag industry, in a sense, I guess. It's not only just Nevada. There's several other states. There's quite a few other states that do their work through Calcami.
Dude, Dave.
So...
this is the shit. You are just rolling grenades in the room. First, there was the solar nonsense.
I know. Well, and that's also on Saturday. You will be hearing about the energy and solar projects that are going to be coming across the table.
Yeah, and we'll cover that in upcoming episodes because there's a lot to bite off there.
Yeah, it's a huge apple.
So Calcami is, man, whoever does Idaho's.
Well, they're still running it now. They're still running. Well, I think Idaho does their own.
God, if we contract with whoever does that.
Yeah, Idaho is an absolute.
I'm going to start a shotgun in the garage if they do. No.
Yeah, there's.
It's a joke,
so,
everybody.
It's so bad.
I got to find something to do. I'm turning 40 this year. It's a big one.
Well.
I have no tags.
Yeah.
My kids don't really have a need for me anymore.
Oh, geez. They're children. They're babies. They will. Trust me. You have a checkbook, right? Give it time.
I'm going to ride off into the sunset. Yeah.
Well, just, you know, as you know, I turned 56 yesterday.
I forgot. Dave.
Saturday the 22nd.
Dave, that is awesome.
56.
Congratulations, man. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Did you get everything you wanted?
I don't need anything.
Good answer.
I got a tag.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Third grenade.
All right. I'm off to start drinking, man. Let's get out of here. The show is Nevada Backcountry. It is absolutely awesome to be back in the studio. Man, doing the show again. We ran a couple of the Sheep Issues episodes, some stuff while we were both out and about doing our thing.
Yeah.
Thank you to our show sponsors, and sincere thanks to those of you who tune in to listen. If you miss a segment of the show, you can go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab. Everything is there. Dave, see us out with final thoughts.
All right, final thoughts. If anybody out there has any show topics or questions you want us to dig into, again, we have our text line as well as our email and Instagram. And let us know if there's any concerns. And everybody, just get up, get out, and shoot.